Dance, my sweet, beautiful. Oh, this one is good. Let's see. How do I describe it? Furry, cozy, barkful, warm, content, confidant. Welcome back to another episode of Confidently Insecure, the podcast. We are absolutely sure we don't know everything. And I am so excited for this episode because I literally just got chills. It involves maybe my two favorite things in the world, which is mental health and dogs. And the woman here to bring it all together with us today, her name is Kate Spear. You might know her from that like little viral Instagram account called The Doggist, which she is the CEO of the company with over 3 million followers. She's also a TEDx speaker about embracing fear and vulnerability, as well as an advocate for, wait for it, psychiatric service dogs, and of course, teammate of Waffle, Kate Spear. Thank you so flippin' much for joining.
Can you do that every morning? So yes. I just wake up and I'm like, yeah.
I would love to.
That is, talk about it. Yeah, way to start the day. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm genuinely so excited to chat with you. I've obviously been binging your content. I mean, besides The Doggist, like for Ebs, but your personal story and connection to mental health. I mean, girl, you put it all out there, which is just my kind of person. You literally have a TEDx talk called Embracing Fear and Vulnerability. Tell me, what is your personal connection to mental health?
Oh, wow. That's a big one. You're going to start there? That's dangerous.
I'm like, listen, you can get the more in-depth version online, sure. And obviously, you know, we're in mental health month here of October. So trigger warnings galore. We paste it all over the walls. But like, just very casually, what's your deepest trauma?
Well, I think that's actually a great place to start. But I would first say that my connection to mental health is that mental health is normal. We all have it. It's not a thing. It's an everything. And I think that's something that I had actually the great privilege of growing up believing was really just, there's nothing wrong with this. It's just part of the body and the mind. I can credit my mom and my dad with that. Shout out to mom and dad for that. Yeah. Big time. You know, we were the family that talked about sex ed in kindergarten. Mom was like, yep, you got the vagina, you got the penis. And I went into show and tell and I was like, guess what? You got the vagina and you got the penis. And everyone was like, this is not working. Like, it was already really loud, but this is a whole new
level.
We love to see it. No, totally.
That radical candor.
Seriously. But yeah, no. So I grew up with that understanding. So I'd say my connection started there. My grandmother grew up, as I was growing up, we grew up in a family where my dad's mom had manic depressive disorder. So back then it was called manic depressive, now called bipolar disorder. And I didn't get it. I didn't understand as a kid. I was just very outspoken, very anxious. I have that like shy loud or whatever they call it, you know, I'm just like, wah! Like when I'm nervous, I just get loud. I'm not
so relatable.
You know, I don't shrink. I just make awkward conversations and tell my whole trauma story in front of an entire audience.
We need more of that.
Totally. Yeah. No, I'm here for it. So yeah, so growing up, I just watched, you know, we'd have family conversations with our nuclear family where it's very normal to talk about, you know, if you're sad or you're angry, and we had a lot of open communication around that. But then with my grandmother, it was very different. And there was a lot of shame there, and I couldn't understand it. And I made a big deal out of it, not surprisingly. And so I'd be the, you know, very cute pigtailed, you know, 5, 7, 10-year-old saying, well, if we don't, grandma's not sick, grandma's depressed, and there's a difference, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I kept getting mad that we weren't telling her story, because I always thought, what is more impressive than fighting your mind every day? How incredible is that?
Superhero.
Like, that is so brave.
Yeah.
So why would we say it's a stomach bug? It's not just a stomach bug. She has bipolar disorder. That's amazing. And like, I literally grew up thinking that. And that is so, I mean, I still think to this day how cool that was to have that outlook, and it never really changed. Again, I would say once I turned 16 and I was diagnosed with my own depression, couldn't stop crying. I cried all the time. Definitely had a different relationship with mental health.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, like, I think a lot of the time we talk about mental health is this like end all kind of just this whole thing. But mental illness and mental health, I think, although they obviously in, you know, mainstream media encompass the same thing, I think it's important to note they're different. We all have mental health, but we don't all live with mental illness.
There you go.
And I think a relationship with mental health is one thing, but once I was 16, I had a relationship with mental illness. And I think that that was transformative in many ways, obviously. Yeah. And yeah, so then it went on from there. Do you want me to do the whole trauma story? You want to
I think there's like, there's so much. You have a lot of story. I mean, similar story to myself, actually, in that I was also misdiagnosed with bipolar very early on. They didn't really understand the spectrum of mood disorder back then. This is, you know, totally. The DSM-5 is constantly being ripped apart and erased and reformed. And I think right now we live in a really unique time where, thank God, we're talking a lot about more of mental health, but we lived through the time of being diagnosed, being pilled, being, you know, put up in a facility in a hospital. I did a little stint in an inpatient and outpatient facility. I mean, you have a similar story, but what listening to your TED talk that I grasped was this intense moment in your mental health, your mental illness journey, that when you were in a facility that the doctors and nurses said, you really like, we can't help you. You're basically unhelpable, for lack of a better term. You're just fucked. Like, we don't know what the fuck to do with you.
Oh, totally. You're totally.
Yeah. If you want to speak a little bit about kind of that, 100%. That time. Yeah,
totally. Yeah. So basically, misdiagnosed with bipolar disorder 18. And thereafter I was put on med after med after med. Got on the treadmill, the medication treadmill. And by the time like a year went by, I started hallucinating and I ended up every time I would add a med having more symptoms or presenting like I had a more severe case of bipolar disorder. Wow, and with every med, I got worse. I had more mood lability, more outbursts, more manic breaks, more psychotic breaks. And so every time it happened, they of course would add another med and guess what? I would get worse. So it was a really long time. Decades, a long time to, hallucinate. I have so much, I just am so impressed with people who live with schizophrenia. It is, I don't miss those days.
Right.
You know, being literally chased around Middlebury College campus by demons and having imaginary friends. And, you know, only like 4 years, 3 years ago, I learned one of my friends was imaginary. Like it's that extensive. Yeah.
Wow.
Maura was not real. I have like 3 years of writing on the internet about Maura and she was an imaginary friend. So all the things that went down. Yeah. So totally. So basically at my 21st psychiatric hospitalization. So in and out of wards, tried a whole bunch of different treatments. I was like, they used to call me the perfect patient. And I now regret that.
Oh,
because I took all the meds and I did all the behavioral work because I was so determined to be okay. I just, I wanted to help people. I wanted to be a therapist. And I was like, I'm going to do this. Like, this is, you know, you're not going to stop me. And of course I was so adherent every time I would get sicker. So anyways, basically ended up, the doctor said, you know, you're at the end of, you know, my therapist passed away, which is what really happened. And, that was obviously really hard, but no one was willing to take me on as an outpatient. So I went to doctor after doctor and I begged and I said, please just give me one chance. Like I'll do the work. I do the work like any, and they said, you know, it's not about you doing the work. And I think that's something we don't talk about a lot is when you're, when you are at the end of the road, when they have run out of treatment options. Again, this was before microdosing became popular, before ketamine was like reintroduced, you know, there was a lot of things that hadn't happened, you know, this is about 8-9 years ago now. And so they planned to send me to this inpatient locked unit and basically my family, was going to just drive me to Massachusetts. The idea was I would live there, forever. And that's again, because of the great privilege of parents and a grandparent, my grandfather had figured out how to endow that treatment because no one could afford that. That's only people who have the incredible privilege of a family member who could foot the bill. Wow. And that, you know, it's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, like even an inpatient unit is costs literally $18,000 to $21,000 a night.
Yikes.
And everyone's always like, oh, psychiatric service dogs, but that costs $50,000. And you're like, well, guess what? Three
What's
nights
your other option?
In a ward, yeah, is more than that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Wow.
But yeah, so then luckily, amazingly, and again, this is just proof of how broken the system is. I know this is long. Sorry.
It's no, not- it's not. This okay, is totally okay, part
okay,
of it.
Okay. Okay.
No,
okay.
You're doing great. You're doing great, sweetie.
Did I mention I have anxiety?
That is very welcome here. You are in a very safe place.
I basically threw a temper tantrum, you know, like a good old 2-year-old, like throwing, I actually threw china, like my grandmother's china across the dining room.
Not
it's okay. No one liked
china.
It anyways.
Oh, okay. Then fuck it.
Like it was good. Like get it on the dishwasher. I was letting
You're
it.
Never
like,
going to get rid of
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Like, come on. It was actually, my mom always said, she was like, that was the greatest. But I just threw this fit and my dad, who's a health policy expert, just called in a huge favor. And so he got me an appointment with the head of psychiatry at Dartmouth College, who had worked, you know, all over the country. And he said, you know what? We met and he was like, you know what? I'm going to give you one chance with this guy, Dr. C, Dr. Candido. He's a trauma expert. And, yeah, I'm going to see if he's willing. I'll like pull some strings and see if we can get you in.
Yeah.
And I went, after three sessions,
wow.
And he was kind enough to this time it was very agoraphobic, like didn't go out during the day. I would set my alarm to 3 a.m. to go grocery shopping at the 24 hour. Cause I was so terrified of humans, like deeply, deeply ill.
Wow.
And after 3 appointments, he was like, you know what, Kate, you don't have bipolar disorder.
Wow.
You have, I believe been living in a consistent medication induced psychotic break for the last decade.
Wow. Jesus. What a fucking moment that must have been.
It was such a moment. I was just like, I mean, again, I was so scared I shit myself. So like, just like full on, like, that's my kind of like, I am scared shitless. Like that's a little anxiety.
Literal. Yeah.
It's just like a full, and I was like, excuse me. Like I have to go. And he was like, no, we're not done yet. He was like, if you want me to work with you. And I remember just being like, oh my God, like my pants, like, oh my God, this is the work. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. And he was like, if you want me to work with you, you're going to have to work harder than you've ever worked in your life. And I know you take pride in how hard you work, but you're going to have to work even harder. Mm-hmm. And you have to agree to that because you are an urgent case. You are a case where it's going to take an incredible amount of work. But if you do that work, there might be a chance that one day you will live independently.
Oof.
And one day you could even have just a part-time job and you have that choice. And tomorrow morning at noon, you have an appointment. And if you show up in broad daylight, Kate, and you face your fear, I will know you mean it when you say you want to do the work.
Wow.
So I went home. I took a shower. I didn't sleep a wink because I was just so freaked out. I was like, I have to walk out. But I think honestly that was the turning point. And I showed up the next day, freshly showered, wearing a diaper because I knew it was going to be really shitty.
Yeah.
serious pun intended. And I spent the next year doing intensive exposure therapy.
Wow.
And he basically diagnosed me with extreme PTSD. His understanding is that I basically have the equivalent of what a prisoner of war has because I was constantly gaslit in how the treatments were. Cause I would say, I don't think this is me, you know, by the end of all those things in the world, I was like, I am the side effect of a side effect. You guys are wrong. Like I am not schizophrenic and I have nothing, there's nothing wrong with schizophrenia. This isn't me. Like this is you. And they, and only when Dr. C, you know, told the psychiatrist and was like, you actually have to take her off these meds. So it took about 2 years of deep exposure therapy and med titration. And during that time, just exposure therapy changed my life. I got my life back.
Wow.
I mean, it's magic.
Casual.
So
Casual story.
And then we get waffles. So yeah. So
oh my gosh. Well, that was going to be my next question because I mean, first of all, I'll make sure to link it below, but I highly suggest everyone go listen to your TED talk. You get more into that detail.
Therapy.
Yeah. If people
totally.
Are.
Yeah.
But what I want to know
get
is
it.
Where do the dogs come into your life?
Yes, queen. Yes. Well, actually they've always been part of my life. Let's get that out there. I'm always team dogs. Like let's be real.
You're
team
wearing dogs. A sweatshirt that literally says
literally
dogs.
Says dogs. Yes. Yeah. This is,
and it's the new merch, right? This is the new.
Oh, we've got merch? This. This has got it always. Yeah. Yes. Come and get it. I mean, this is the team you want to be on.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I was literally at the vet this morning and someone was like, oh, really? You like dogs? And I was like, well, if you don't, you're not my person. It's kind of okay.
Also, do I like,
I'm like, do I like,
I don't know.
I know. They have no idea what they're doing. I was like, don't get started.
Don't open this Pandora's box, lady.
Yeah. No, dogs. Yeah. So basically my whole life, I felt like a weirdo and I am a weirdo. I'm like a proud weirdo. So that's not
welcome
a problem.
Here. Welcome.
Yeah. Hello.
Nice to have you.
I am a dork. I am a goofball. I like go between being like a very sincere monk, like priest person who just is very intense about how mental illness is portrayed in the media. And I get very like cynical and angry and like proselytize that. And then I go to the real Kate, which is just like pure dork dancing in her underwear. Like
love
if you go
that.
Far enough back in Instagram before I got the job at the Doggist, like I literally jiggled for joy every day because I was
there you
alive.
Go. There
and
you
everyone
go.
Was like, oh, you're body positive. And I was like, no, I'm just grateful to be alive. I mean, yes, my body's awesome. But it doesn't matter. The body is irrelevant.
The basis of all of that is I'm alive. And that's important to celebrate.
So if you're not dancing, something's off. Okay.
Yes. 100%.
Totally. So yeah. So dogs for me have always been like my people. And I always say dogs are my people in the sense that they're pretty much one of the only places I ever felt safe growing up and also in college. And it wasn't that I didn't have an incredible cohort of friends. I do. I just
those people.
Yeah, just screw them. No,
they're not a dog.
They're totally. I mean, most of my people actually are dogs. Like
great.
They say it as it is. They jump up on you. Yes. They're gonna just tell you whatever the fuck is going down. Like they give you what they are.
Yes.
And I just humans suck. Like it's like you walk into a room and they're like, you say, how are you? And they say they're fabulous. And then you learn 10 minutes later they're like, grandparent died. And you're like. That's bullshit. Like, also, I can read in your body language. You're not fabulous. So can you just like shoot it straight?
Dogs
like,
are just more real. They can't hide their emotions.
They can't. Literally.
Yeah.
They're safe. And so I think growing up, we had dogs and I was just known as the girl who like would come home from school and I'd learn a disability back then. And so it was like, Kate, if you do your homework, you can snuggle trouble.
Aww.
And it was like, it was
which is the name of your dog?
It was
not
the first name.
And
yeah, trouble is the name.
Acting out.
No, not an imaginary friend. Don't worry, we haven't gotten there. Like,
That was later in life.
Yeah, that was later. No, Maura did. She had an imaginary dog. She was great.
Oh,
Roxy, love her.
There you go.
I don't know. It's wild. It is totally wild. My life is wild.
It really is, but like, not to cut you off, but like, it's more common than we think. Like, people don't talk about psychosis.
No.
People don't talk about mania. They don't talk about hallucinations. And it's because, like, to me, you know, I have someone in my life very close to me that has bipolar, what's it called? I'm forgetting the word. Unipolar mania. So it's only highs. It's only psychosis. It's not the depressive. And it's fucking awesome. They're
totally.
Why would I want to get rid of this? Why wouldn't I tell people this is amazing? And I'm like, well, because it, you know, all the symptoms that we talk about, the side effects of what that can bring. But this is why I'm like, you know,
totally.
I think it's so important to highlight stories like these and talk about too, like you are a functioning fucking CEO in society. And we are so terrified of psychosis. We're so scarlet lettering of the
totally.
Psychosis that I don't think, you know, we don't imagine that there is a way out or like a light out. And I can't imagine a better light to be going towards than a life filled with literally dogs all the time.
It's pretty, I've won. I mean, Elias, my business partner, and I talk about it. Like I won.
Yeah.
He was like, this is called karma, Kate. You were in hell.
Yeah.
So the least, you know, the least the world could give you.
Well, tell me a bit how did that kind of the doggist job or like did Waffle come in first or like
Waffle's first.
Where they
it's all about Waffle. Yeah. So basically grew up with dogs, they're my people, whatever. Yeah. Basically doing all this intensive work with Dr. C, And he's like, wow, you're making a lot of progress. So I got even a part-time job. And he was like, whoa, I never thought you'd ever have a job. No offense. I was just saying that to get you motivated, you know, like that kind of a thing. Like every day, truth. Like, yes. Yeah, totally. Like he's just always, I mean, he's still every day. He's like, God, kid, you really did grow up. Like, wow. What? You know, it's
so
just
proud.
No, he's definitely like my proud grandfather.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was just about a year in, so I'd gotten this job. I like had basically scaled up. I was super motivated. I have the privilege of very intelligent genetics. So I just nerded and I was like, I'm going to figure this out. No one knows social media. So all my friends have PhDs, they're doctors, they're lawyers, but guess what? No one has a PhD in social. And guess what? You just have to do it.
Yeah.
So I kind of just jumped in and I started working at this company called Farmhouse Pottery and figuring it all out. And through the process, I was like, I am missing something. Mm. And it is a dog.
Oh.
So I had just gotten together. It was literally 7 months together with my now husband, but then boyfriend. And we just told my parents, we're like, we're going to get a Bernese Mountain Dog. And I just remember my mom going, that is the worst fucking idea, Kate. That is the worst fucking idea.
Okay, and like, mom.
Yeah, like, thank you, mother. But like, at the same time, she's not wrong. She wasn't wrong
it's
in her intention.
Yes.
Totally. It's a ton. And yes. Like, financially, just the whole reality is, mm-hmm. you know, a year ago, I had been pulled out after a suicide attempt, being, you know, told I was going to live in a unit. And then I'm telling them I'm ready to take on a puppy.
Yeah.
And my parents were like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I'm me. I was like, fuck it. I'm going. Like,
you
when I make up my mind,
needed.
Got to do it. So we got Waffle. Actually, on Valentine's Day in 2014.
Oh,
I will send you some puppy photos.
Please do, because I'm going to put it on the thumbnail. You know it.
Oh, you gotta. She was literally the cutest dog. And I joked that like I had learned social media through Waffle Nugget when I started the account, which was really just my way of learning social media. Mm. But let's be realistic. It was just, she was a cute
people
Bernie sound
puppy.
Dog. Like
yeah.
fluffy, running yeah. in the snow. Like I was doing nothing.
she was doing all the work.
Seriously. Yeah. She did all the work. But yeah, it was around that time. I basically started learning social media doing that. And I, in being more in the space, I got really mad and I was like really angry. And I was like, the dog's fun. Like, this is awesome. Following the dog is love this. But like, why is everyone pretending their life is so great? Mm. Everyone is going through stuff. And at that time, you know, I was still hallucinating. Like, I was like, this is all like, it's all a lie. And I'm so tired of the lies. Mm. And having spent, you know, so much of my 20s, watching the world grow up, watching my peers get married, watching my peers have kids, watching people follow their dream job and go on that trip. And I was like wearing diapers in a locked psych unit. And I was like, that sucks.
Some things, yeah.
Yeah, like that's not, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be part of the fallacy that it's, you know, that life is only
simple,
one thing. Yeah. And so I started just getting, I started slowly and gently. Actually, Dr. C used it as exposure therapy.
Oh.
Again, mention it in the TEDx talk if you want to learn what exposure therapy is. But basically, I would do what scared me, which was telling my story. And so I started sharing that I had panic attacks. I started sharing that I had, you know, all of these symptoms of mood lability and PTSD. And every single time it happened, I got flooded with messages. Mm-hmm. Like, me too. You just, I remember one of the times I had just, you know, starting to share more and more, and it was like a few months in, and I got this note that said, thank you, Kate, you stopped me from pulling the trigger.
Oof.
And I just,
wow.
Yeah. That's... And
A huge message.
It was a lot. Yeah. And I was like, this is what I'm meant to do. I'm meant to show up exactly as I am with the truth that there is nothing wrong with mental health or mental illness. It's simply human.
Yeah.
And life is a both. It's both the joy and the dogs and the, oh my God. Yeah. Like the whole thing. And it's also crying and having a temper tantrum. And it's, you know, like, whatever, like 3 weeks ago, like I threw a fucking jelly jar at my husband's head in a PTSD hypervigilance.
Yeah.
But that's part of it.
Yeah, that's part
of
it.
Totally. It's not a bad thing. It's not, there's no morality.
It's more common than you think.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's just emotions
hidden.
Are human.
My
sweet confidants, it is Mental Health Month. We have got all these beautiful guests talking about mental health. And if there's one thing that I will always shout from the rooftops, you already know it. You listen to this podcast. You know I'm going to tell you that you need to be using BetterHelp. Baby, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with a licensed professional counselor, therapist in a safe and affordable environment. It's just like one of those dating apps. You put in what you're looking for. They give you some options. You find someone that you think you want to like and talk to. And if it doesn't work out, you can always switch counselors at any time at no cost to you. The best part about BetterHelp to me is that I can do therapy from the comfort of wherever I please. Sometimes I do it from my bed. Sometimes I do it from my office. The point is I never have to go into a waiting room ever again. And especially when you live in Los Angeles, that traffic, ooh, this is such an appealing part of therapy with BetterHelp. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. And I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/CI. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp.com/CI. Fall is busy, 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 gourd season, acorn squash, all those things at the grocery store. But you don't need to worry about that because HelloFresh recipes save you time you'd otherwise spend meal planning or shopping, trying to hunt down those delicious autumnal ingredients so you can get back to what matters. HelloFresh's family-friendly menu is a big win for back-to-school season, too, with easy, delicious recipes for drama-free dinners. HelloFresh offers 50 menu and market items to choose from every week, from vegetarian meals, calorie smart choices, to extra special gourmet. There's something for everyone to enjoy with recipes designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure deliciousness and simplicity. Honestly, I love HelloFresh. I personally use them. I cook with Jared. Sometimes I make him do it and I watch him when he's like in a sexy little apron. Again, I love any of their autumnal ingredients and the fact that it's like ready to be used. It's always fresh. I feel like I've just been from the market and it always tastes so delightful. So I want you to go to HelloFresh.com/confidently14 and use code confidently14 for up to 14 free meals, including free shipping. Go to HelloFresh.com, America's number one meal kit, and go to /confidently14 and use code confidently14 for up to 14 free meals, including free shipping. Go get it.
Exactly.
Yes. People hide it their whole lives. And to, I'm sure it's so refreshing to like, that's exactly how I started at when I was at BuzzFeed. I made a video that I was all voiceover and I thought I'm going to put this out and it will be out in the world and no one's going to know it's me. It's this like anonymous video. Immediately the comments were like, oh my God, I had no idea. Kelsey Dara, the person who works at BuzzFeed, who is definitely this person, lived with all of this. And I was like, oh fuck. Because I didn't want that attached to me as a professional. Totally. I was like, this isn't going to help me. This is just going to come up now when people Google my name. And it was the complete fucking opposite. Like my entire career was based on watching people receive that information and coming to me saying, same, me too. Me too. Literally the exact same situation. And I know the feeling you're talking about of like, it's almost like a relief to go like, totally. Fuck, I really wish I didn't have to go through all of that fucking shit to be able to get here to be a mental health advocate. But goddamn, I wouldn't be able to be here if I hadn't gone through literally the depths of hell, like crawling through the bottom, you know, like rock bottom, as they say in therapy. Like
literally. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
It must have been such a game changer for you. I mean, and what you've done with it. Yeah.
Yeah. No. It was
Confidant, sober girlies, are you looking to cut back or cut out alcohol this year? Come on, join me and Zach on our sober journeys. Recess Zero Proof
craft mocktails are the perfect alcohol replacement. We've recreated the cocktails you know and love, like a lime margarita and a grapefruit paloma, so you can enjoy the flavors and feelings of those cocktails without the booze. That's right. Zero proof, zero compromise. Listeners can get 15% off the Recess mocktail sampler at takearecess.com/Kelsey. Each can is lightly sparkling mocktail infused with functional ingredients like so many stress balancing adaptogens made with real fruit and only 25 calories or less. It's a guilt-free way to unwind. Whether you're relaxing after work or hanging out with friends, make Recess mocktails your drink between drinks or, like me, your forever mocktail. I am so obsessed with the ginger lime mule and also the grapefruit paloma. For spring, it's my favorite go-to weekend drink. Get 15% off Recess mocktails now at takearecess.com/Kelsey so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences.
And it still is. I still think of, I think one of the things you were actually mentioning earlier, just this concept of like psychosis and mania not being discussed. I think one of the things a lot of people actually ask me these days is they're like, well, why haven't I heard about you? Like, where are you? And I'm like, well, I was psychotic. We don't talk about that. Like if I had, you know, panic disorder or I, you know, not saying it's anything less, but it's like, it's just that you don't go to that place.
If
you
there's don't a go. Line. We talk about literally, that all the time. They're like depression, PTSD, anxiety. Very cool. Psychosis.
You're like, oh, canceled. Can't do that. We're not going to go.
Yeah.
Literally. And I mean, it's, and that's okay. You know, I hold space for that. Like I totally recognize, I think, you know, at the beginning, like I would say when I started doing this and after that, you know, I got that message and I started getting more, I got way more outspoken and I was loud and proud, almost, I mean, definitely proud, proud of the resilience for sure. Yeah. And then I would say, you know, I got waffle and I just, my PTSD got really bad. And there was just this point where I realized I couldn't fight for my well-being and share my story online at the exact same time. Mm. And the act of service, which I love doing, I think I fervently believe solidarity stories are service. Yes. And that's one of the most powerful things a human can give is their story and offer solidarity to another person. Mm. I just needed to step back for a while. And so that's where I think the last, like I would say 3.5 years, been me and Watt or almost four. Wow. 4 years, almost the doggest.
I'm the like, pandemic
what
time? Was like,
what happened? I'm like, come on.
It wasn't a real year, even though it added to the timeline. We
it
all,
really wasn't. Yeah. I know. I'm like so disoriented, but, but anyways, got waffle and the most magical thing started happening. And this is just where dogs are just so much cooler than humans. Sorry, humans. Love you, but no.
I think most of the audience listening to this is going to agree with you on this whole dog.
Okay. Okay, good. At least it's okay. As long as
we have some cat people, but like we'll take them.
I'm
for
okay
this
with that. I'll take that.
Yeah.
As long as you're also a dog person.
Yes.
You know, it's
100%.
Like as long as it's a both, we're cool.
It's not like an against. It's not a versus.
Yeah, exactly.
Anymore.
It doesn't have to be. It's, yeah, there's no contention.
No,
except for dogs are better. But you know, there's no.
But
contention.
You know, we don't. You know, we cover the cat's ears. Yeah.
So yeah. So we got her again. Not easy. Again, my parents had to help out plenty. They love
shout
they
out
love
mom and dad.
That in my face. Thanks, mom and dad. They weren't wrong that I needed their help. But she started actually doing what I used to call the fluff bombs, where I would just before I would see a hallucination, she would run and hurl herself on top of me.
Wow.
And it was incredible. And of course, my now husband who has a PhD in environmental science, I'd be like, you won't believe it. Waffle fluff on me. Like she can tell when I'm going to hallucinate. And I just remember Dave being like, you know, just like the typical, like put the hand I'm like, honey, like you're like,
you, we need to get you back to the ward.
Like being like, should I like literally no. It was like, should I call your parents or Dr. C? And I was like, no. Like,
no,
I'm
you gotta see it to believe it.
Totally. And like, you have to understand, I mean, whatever, 7 years ago when this was all going on, this was before there was like this resurgence of service dogs. And you see them a lot more on college campuses and such, but it was not normal. Like guide and eye dogs, for sure. Mm-hmm. There were maybe, you know, there were limited. There were two programs in the country at the time, actually, that had veteran PTSD dogs, but no one had ever been like, oh yeah, psychotic, psychiatric service dog. Totally. That's
a
normal
thing. No, that's not a thing. Yeah.
No, not a thing. So I, of course, being my stubborn self, just was like, okay, my entire family, they're all scientists. They all love data. Wow. And I was like, well, guess what? I can spreadsheet like you. Like what? You get spreadsheet? I get spreadsheet. Fucking watch me. So I literally kept track of all of my hallucinations and I kept track of all of my fluff bombs. And Waffle, it turned out, was cueing every single one that she was nearby.
Holy
and
shit.
Yeah, it was insane. And I just remember that moment of being like, oh my God, my life is about to change. And that, wow. Again, I think Dr. C was like the first moment, like that first opportunity. But living with hallucinations is something that there aren't really words for it. You know, like mine are very graphic and were very graphic in nature. And it's really hard to live in public life when things are flying at you or you're seeing your body in a tree or whatnot. And those were the type of manifestations that my mind had conjured. And a lot of the issue was the unpredictability. And I think a lot of people relate to that, you know, with anxiety. It's like, well, just tell me, you know, like, what are we doing? You know, it's like today I was like, what are we talking about? You know, but it's good. Like uncertainty and discomfort are great. It's growth. Totally. But at the same time, for me back then, I was too ill and too anxious to be able to navigate social circumstances when in the middle of a conversation, I would be blindsided by this vision.
Wow.
And so I read a few articles, literally not much. And I was like, Google Scholar. Okay, here we go. And obviously dogs' noses are fabulous. They're the world's best thing. They can smell, I think it's 300 times, 300
something.
It's insane. Crazy. I won't, I don't, I'll send you the stat. I'm like not remembering right now on a Friday afternoon. Insert stat here. Just their noses are insane. And so I read enough to be able to realize that seizure alert dogs had been trained based on phenolics. So how the body smells. And I was like, okay, if they can do that, then that's what's happening here. There's a chemical thing that's occurring in my body before I see a vision, and Waffle is picking up on that. So I did what every Vermonter did, every human did, right? Like that's normal. You're psychotic. You're figuring out. I drove to the nearest farm stand and I bought 10 pounds of bacon.
Casual weekend in Vermont.
Super cash, super cash. Yeah. So I literally started training her.
Wow.
So I took one of my t-shirts after I'd had a particularly bad, hallucination. And I'm sure everyone's had an anxious sweat, you know? Or if you haven't,
I mean, God bless you.
Yeah, seriously. Good, whoa. Good. Like, what is that? Yeah. What is that?
But also, you should probably go get that check. Cause that's not.
Yeah. Like, seriously, like, what are you on? I think I'm on something.
No, right.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so then I basically, when you're nervous, obviously you sweat differently than when you're working out. We can get into all that. If you want to ask me about that, send me a message. I'm not going to spend 40 minutes describing what happens with cortisol in your body.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it there.
Yeah.
But basically took one of my stinky t-shirts, put it in a Ziploc bag, and I would open the Ziploc bag, request a paw. Waffle would give me a paw and I'd give her bacon, her favorite thing in the world. And I did this over and over and over again. And I did it consistently for a year. In a variety of circumstances, both in our, you know, cabin at the time and then outside. And I trained her nose. I literally trained her nose to smell my body and this change in my body. And she generalized it. She got it down. So right now she literally can be the farthest we've ever had is half a mile away that she'll come back. Which was incredible. I was on a team hike my first year at the Doggist. Yeah. And, Elias was like, you were hanging back, like everything okay? And I was like, yeah, I was just seeing a lot of stuff. I was having a lot of flashbacks and he was like, yeah, I would see Waffle come back. And I was like, oh yeah, she was smelling me. And he was like, but she was like half a mile away from you. I was like, dog's noses, man, dog's noses.
Yeah. Wow. And so can you just for listeners explain difference between what a psychiatric service dog is and a service dog? Because I think the other thing people think of too is like an emotional support animal, which I know like you can get into that whole thing about like what is actually an emotional support animal and like, you know, the advantages that people kind of take of being able to fly and all that. But can you kind of just generally like let us know what the differences are?
For sure. Yeah. So it's a very simple breakdown. There's three in the United States, three delineations of dogs in the kind of emotional help space. There's a therapy dog, which is a certified dog that's been trained to help all types of people. It's generalized. there's a certification attached. There's an emotional support animal. That's just a dog that you literally get a letter from your supposedly psychologist or psychiatrist, or in this modern day, some janky website online.
Google.
And yeah, literally that's that. Then there's a service dog, and a service dog, there are many different types of service dogs. Although we don't talk about psychiatric service dogs as if it's like a thing, we think of it as like, oh, that's an anomaly. Yes. They're actually like, there's just one understanding under the ADA, just the American Disabilities Act, mm-hmm. of a service dog. And that's a dog that has been task trained mm-hmm. to assist a person with a disability. Mm-hmm. That's it. They're just task trained. And there, again, there are no, and a lot of people don't understand this, there's no certification process in the United States. Mm-hmm. There's no test you go under. There are public access standards. Mm-hmm. So Assistance Dogs International is the governing body of assistance mm-hmm. dogs worldwide. Mm-hmm. And assistance dogs can be, you know, that's just kind of how they're lumped in.
Sure.
So there is a public access test that they determine. Mm-hmm. But basically the only thing an individual with a disability needs is to be able to say, this is my disability, and these are the two or three tasks that mitigate that disability.
So I had the confidants will remember Barry, our first foster dog a couple years ago. I just knew he was more special than most dogs. Cause I was like, you're so fucking smart. The same thing with like waffle fluff bombing you. I was like, you and I are like soul bonded in a weird way that like, I can't explain to people. And we started to train him for when I would start picking my eyelashes. I have the trichotillomania, and that's kind of like my anxious tick, if you will. And we started to train him to put his paw on me whenever he saw that happening. And this motherfucker got it in like 15 minutes. I was like, excuse me, sir, how did you get that so quick? Like, they are so smart. And I was working with a trainer at the time, and I, you know, asked, I was like, okay, so what else do I need to like do to get him certified? And he's like, well, there are, you know, certificates you can get online, but there isn't a, like you're saying, there isn't like a stamp or a vest that a dog needs, but there is also a, what you're kind of talking about is that standard level of is it public access that you're saying is what
generally
it's called?
Yeah, it's like public access is generally like the framework, at least within the community that people want to like meet a standard.
Right. And I watch this on TikTok all the time where I'll see dogs like who perform acts of service, you know, for their teammate. And then there are the accounts that are also kind of like, I don't know if exposing is the right word, because I always think like, we don't know someone's situation. Like, we don't know if maybe their dog is new in the training or is usually only at home. Like, how can we as a society start to embrace like the idea of service dogs beyond a visible disability without being so like judgy McJudgersons about it? Or do we need to still be a little judgy McJudgersons? I don't know.
No, I don't know either. I mean, I will say, as someone who's like, I felt, I mean, amazingly, I still feel nervous. Mm. Like, even with what I've lived through, you know, it's like, oh, I've hallucinated for 10 years. It's like, oh, that's not real. Like, what? Like, what's that?
Right.
It's like, it's like, okay. Like, I mean, I entirely lost my 20s, and I still get nervous going out in public because of people who judge. Mm. So I generally say that when in doubt, give someone the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. And like, kindness goes places. And the people who are fucking with the system, first of all, I'm just going to say it. Sorry, Mom. Fuck you. Because it's really hard to live with these conditions.
Right.
And like, that's not cool. And so I think one of the things that I'm most frustrated about most of the time is that Waffle and I, as a team, we're not shown grace, because I present high functioning and able-bodied, which I am. Mm-hmm. And guess what? I also have a disability. And so in those moments, you know, especially after COVID, where we spent almost a year and a half without being in public spaces, people be like, oh, she's one of those. That's a faker. Right. Being like, oh yeah. So what's your disability?
Right. It's
like,
right.
And that's really, really hard, especially for someone who has anxiety, any condition really, that it's hard to talk about publicly.
It's like
and
another
shamed.
Addition of it. It's exactly. The shame level. And I think like, because using the dog is so helpful. I think also as in media, we've been trained, no pun intended, to think that like service dogs can only be like labs or like short haired chocolate labs or like a golden retriever, right? Like, is there, there's no, I mean, you have a fucking Burmese mountain dog.
Totally. And that actually is a total anomaly. So yeah. It is good to note that, like, generally service dogs are those breeds. So they're English Labradors or golden retrievers. And that's literally, I mean, they're called the Fabulous Four. So you'd also include poodles and German Shepherds. Yeah. So those are the considered to be like the four standards of working breed. And if you're like super hyperactive, I think you could probably train a collie, but you gotta be like running 20 miles a day.
Yeah. That dog is way too active. Yeah, no, I'd be like, sit down.
Like, hi. Like, yeah. I'm like, this is not working for me.
Yeah.
Refuse to meet your needs. I need you to meet mine, but that wouldn't really work out. So yeah, wait, hold on. This just got cut off.
Oh no. It's not cut off on my end.
Oh, okay. There we go. Okay.
We're still, I can still hear you. You're still clear.
Love it.
Say.
Okay. Perfect. So I trained Waffle basically. Yes. And then everyone was like, oh my God, please come speak at our event. And I went to an event and Elias, so he says, was like, oh my God, I need to meet this woman. So he came up in the middle of a snowstorm and we literally just went for a walk. And I told him pretty much that, I mean, honestly, I think the direct quote is, I think you're an idiot. Like, why haven't you built this into a bigger company? But
and
again,
Elias is the photographer does the photos for the doggist that
exactly. Yes.
And you're like this social media queen at this point too, with what you've been doing with Waffle. And it just seemed like the amalgamation of everything you've been gone through, you know, storytelling, social media, dogs, mental health, that relationship to me just makes so much sense. So to hear you go like, why would you talk to me? Why haven't you built this into a brand? It's like, well, yeah, duh, you were the missing piece.
Well, thank you. I mean, he now says that, which I should get on like record because he's very quiet.
Count it.
Yeah.
This is the
check
record.
It. Yeah. Yes. but yeah, so my day is a dream. We tell stories. That's what we do. I really think stories are medicine. I think somewhere along the way, we got really lost and thought it was only came in the form of a pill. And that's just not true. No. As both you and I've learned.
True. Very true.
It does not mean I'm not completely pro medication. If it works for you, I still take an antidepressant.
There you go.
Helps. You know what? No side effects. Lets me do what I'm doing. But truly, I just think there are so many alternatives. And I actually think psychiatric service dogs are one of the most fabulous alternatives. I truly believe that.
Yeah.
I actually think one of the things that I've been actually writing a lot about, and I haven't even been public about yet, is just, so get ready.
Oh people. My God, exclusive. Everybody pay attention.
It's just that the very idea of a task built by the ADA, understandably, there are terms included in that about how task training cannot be companionship, that companionship is not a task, that basically having presence is not a task. And I just disagree.
Yeah.
I totally disagree. For individuals with depression and anxiety, having camaraderie is everything.
It's almost like the people writing the fucking rules don't have a dog.
No. Well, not only that, but it's like, they've never met someone with mental illness. It's like, okay. So depression is the leading cause of disability worldwide, but heaven forbid we give them a dog and help them get out the door.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're telling? That's not worthy. Yeah. And that's something where it's really interesting. And I think there's a lot of work to be done.
Totally.
I think right now, one of the biggest issues is honestly that there just aren't enough service dog training organizations, that we haven't harnessed the power of service dogs. And we haven't really thought about how we can really transform, honestly, restorative justice, utilizing puppy prison programs. And
oh my gosh, I'm so glad you brought that up.
No, it's my biggest thing. I think my dream right now, again, is to get what has happened to the VA, actually, thank you, Biden, happened in August. The VA approved that service dogs will now be covered. The cost will be covered by vets.
Wow.
Huge.
Fucking
like,
2020. It took 2021 to fucking get, I mean, what the fuck?
Seriously.
Seriously.
But at the same time, you can't, there aren't dogs for these people. So it's the same idea. It's like, oh, we'll pay for it. But heaven forbid we endow programs that would offer well-trained dogs. And I think it's really important to note that although I was able to train Waffle, like my success in training Tugboat. She is being professionally trained. Like she right now is at puppy camp because the work that goes into training a service dog for public access and doing all of the work. That's a, it's a lot.
It you shouldn't have to do it on your own too. It's a fucking full-time job. I think like
literally,
especially when you're already dealing with your mental illness, it's like, I think it should be seen the same way that you look at someone with like a physical disability, that a visual disability rather, where it's like, you can sign up. Hopefully your insurance approves it, which that's a whole nother conversation. And then
seriously,
the dog is ready to go. You build that relationship.
Totally.
It's already built into their processes, and you don't have to spend time with the frustration, I think, that comes along with. And, you know, while Barry was only a foster, so eventually he did get foster, you know, he did get adopted out. It's something I'm doing with every foster we have. It's, I'm starting to teach them cues, and it's a full-time motherfucking job. So how can we as people and listeners get involved in this sort of advocacy? Cause I think everything you're saying, everything from like the restorative justice prison programs, I'll link below a couple of organizations that do actually have that service.
Totally. Yeah. I was going to say that
in Los Angeles that I work with, which is insane. But like how, yes, what can we do as listeners to kind of advocate for all the stuff you're saying?
100%. I mean, I would say it's about honestly talking about it. I think one of the greatest things you can do is just talk about mental health and mental illness. Like it's normal because it is normal.
Yeah.
And I think that's the first thing is just make it normal. Mm-hmm. The other thing, and this is never talked about as much. It's always like, yeah, tell your story. Listen. That's an action. And it's the greatest gift you can give to someone is a safe space to talk about this stuff. So next time someone's awkward at a party and they say something weird and everyone laughs, stand up for them because that person is already fighting a fight. That's hard. And if someone else could just be like, hey, today I'm an ally for you. I'm here. Like, hey, we don't know what's going on. Like, what's your problem? Like, why is it funny to make fun of someone having a hard time? Yo, like you can make it socially acceptable, but that's a huge, huge thing to do. And then in terms of psychiatric service dogs and service dogs in general, there are a ton of organizations out there. I'll send obviously all the links. Yeah. But it's a lot of it is it's all donor based. So again, I think that's where it's just, if you can, you know, and you do Giving Tuesday or something like that, being thoughtful about expanding that. But I really think like the pendulum is, you know, it's slowly, I mean, my life, like it's changed so much. Like in high school, when I was weeping and advocating for myself to be able to go to class crying, I was one in, I mean, no one talked about it. I was like the one extreme weirdo. And now people at least talk about it. So I think it's really about just keeping the conversation going and really being open with curiosity consistently to other conversations and other people's perspectives because everyone's got their own story, you know, like you do, like we all do. And if you dare to ask, it's more often that you'll, you know, you'll get something. So,
And it's out there. I think that's the other thing to know is it might take a little bit of digging to find maybe something in your area or like in your town, if you're not in like a major metropolis city. But I think it's like, you know, especially if you're an animal lover, if you understand the joy that animals bring you, what greater gift can you give to someone else than the, you know, the ability to leave their fucking house with their dog, you know?
No, seriously. And I think honestly, if you're looking for like one place to start, you can honestly go to Assistance Dogs International website and they list all of their accredited programs. And in addition to donating, you can literally puppy raise. Like your job can be to hang out with a puppy for a year. Like that's your job. And that's so powerful. So I think there are tons of different ways to do it. Like you can be a breed, like a breeder host. You can literally have a litter of puppies in your house for 8 weeks.
Oh my God. That sounds like my personal nightmare because I know much a puppy.
Yeah, no, I can't do it. I'm like, no, thank you.
I'm like, give me the 12-year-old that was like hit by a car and has one eye. Like that's more my speed, but that's so amazing. And two, like tell us what's going on with the dog. Because I know
totally
launch some new things. There's some events happening. Tell us what's going on.
All
with
the things.
Dogus.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So we just kind of do it all. I don't know. Everyone's always like, how do you do this? I'm like, I just don't sleep a lot.
Yeah. Casual, which is like whatever. Maybe the most arguably the most important thing in like keeping hallucinations at bay is get some good sleep.
So true. My doctor, yes. You sound like someone I know. Maybe.
Oh gosh, maybe. I don't know. Not a PhD. Dropped out of 3 colleges. So no, far.
All good. All good. Yeah, we have tons of fun stuff going on. I mean, I think the thing I'm most excited about right now is there's two. I'm going to tell you about two. One, we're in the process of shooting a mini doc about Waffle and her successor in training, Tugboat.
Oh my God.
And that is, again, it's going to be a longer term project. So we're shooting, you know, we've already shot it for a year and we'll shoot it for another year. So that'll share the journey of both Waffle's experience with me and Tugboat being trained, but then also to Waffle retiring. So that's a huge deal. So that project, I'm just over the moon excited about. And then in addition, you know, we've got hopefully some things going with a TV show that'll come out. But then, get all the doggies. Then the most exciting, I think we're doing just online is we've kicked off the Doggist Fund, which is this concept of just empowering nonprofit work in the canine space worldwide. So we really just want to make a big difference. And we've already, you know, done a transport from China where right now, this past month, we literally underwrote all of this work for the search and rescue team, which is actually a huge deal for mental health. It's how a lot of people who are psychotic and have a manic break are found. They're found by these search and rescue teams. Yeah, it's incredible. You should check it out. I'll send you some links. It's really
That's powerful.
Impressive work.
And like, I'm like filing that away as a resource. Yeah,
like, you're like, okay, I'm going to interview them next week. So yeah, dogs and mental health. Great. Okay. And so, right now we're having rescue month. So October is also rescue month.
Oh my gosh.
And so,
what a great
it's like the best.
For you.
Literally, I know. I'm like, I'm in heaven. I'm like, yes. Okay. So right now we're celebrating an adoptable dog day. And like, if you want to be as awesome as Kelsey, like foster makes a huge, it's huge.
Yeah.
All rescues need it. So we're raising funds for these 4 rescues.
And you gotta promo the cute merch because I was on the website earlier today and I was like, okay, I just like dragging everything to my cart. I'm just like, take my fucking money. And not that they need it, but obviously go follow the Doggist on Instagram. But where can people hear more about you and Waffle and Tugboat and your journey? Promo, plug. Give me all the things.
Not good at this. That's what saying, you know. This is not my forte. So obviously follow the Doggist. Waffle Nugget is our Instagram. And we just share the whole kit and caboodle there. If you're solidly into the mental health stuff, like full on in, you can hang out with me on Kate Spear. I also have a website that has some of my writing. My book is just years away, so we're not going to go there.
I'm currently working on my second and I want to literally just like read anything that's not my book. Like I'm just
it's a
distract
lot.
Me. It's a fucking process. We can commiserate over that.
Yeah. It's like pulling snake venom out and it's so cathartic, but at the same time, it's like, I got from like 5 to 7:30 and then I'm going to get up and run a company and be all like cheery.
I'm blocking out like 6-hour days to like cry, heave, snot, and then like go back in. It's like, where's my fucking therapist right now? She knows she's on double time right now.
So real. But basically anywhere online. And then obviously go to thedogs.com. You can join the team.
Yeah.
Team Dogs.
Team
the
dogs.
One to do. All of our stuff is ethically sourced. It's good.
Yes.
But honestly, like the inspiration for this is literally I used to walk into a party and I'd go find the dog. Can anyone relate to that? Anyone?
Yes.
I'm like, party of, everyone's like,
yes.
I get that.
Yes.
And I was just like, what if you could walk into a room and be like, well, there isn't a dog, but there's a dog person.
There you go. That's an identity I can get on board with. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Well, holy shit, Kay. I'm so glad we met and I'm so glad we connected. And I'm so grateful to you for like not only just sharing your story here, but everything that you're doing in this space, because I think it's so important, so necessary. And like everything your message and morality is behind, we completely fucking agree with and support. And you're just badass. And I hope we can stay connected. And maybe when the mini doc and the TV show and your book is all out, you can come back and share with us what you're up to.
I would be honored. Thank you so much, all of you, for listening. I know there was a lot.
Oh, absolutely. Obviously, you can check out all the links below. I think this is going to be a link-heavy episode. And don't forget, you can rate this 5 stars on iTunes. It always helps other people to find the episode. And if it's not going to be 5 stars, please don't rate it at all because I am sensitive. Speaking of sensitive, the merch is out. It's fall. You need a sweater. Okay, I need to send you a sweater and a book, obviously. Please give me your address after.
Yes, please.
Will do. And we will see you next week, confidants. Have a great mental health month, and we'll see you next week.